Each year on the second Sunday of Advent, over the past 19 years, I have invited a religious most often sister to share with us reflections of the Word of God, to lead us through the scripture readings of the day, and also to remind us of the collection for the retirement fund for religious, which will be taken up next Sunday. In the parish bulletin, there is an insert that explains that retirement fund collection. There is also an envelope that you can use for the collection next weekend. And in my article in the bulletin this week, I have written about that need. This weekend, we had the opportunity to hear from Sister Marjorie Klein. She's a school sister of Notre Dame. She's a member of St. Matthew's Parish. And she is part of the formation team for the school sisters of Notre Dame. So I ask that you welcome Sister Marjorie.
Us of hope and harmony, and invite each one of us to be a part of the fulfillment of that dream. It's not just up to the one, nor is it up to John the Baptist and those of whom he speaks. It is up to us to be living messages of hope for a day when all will live in harmony and peace. In order for that to happen, we are challenged to receive the Spirit to guide us and lead us, to change us, to empower us for the tasks at hand. I would invite you for a moment to rehear today's first reading. Hear it as if you are the one of whom Isaiah speaks. Hear it as perhaps John the Baptist heard it in his day, and take it to heart. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon you, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Your delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearances will you judge, nor by hearsay or gossip will you decide. You will judge all others with justice and make decisions for those who are most in need. You will speak up against those who do wrong. Yes, justice will be the band at your waist and faithfulness a belt around you. Isaiah was speaking here boldly of the Messiah, or as he called it, the shoot that would sprout from the stump of Jesse. Jesus was to be the one who would come to bring change, to bring justice, to bring a world of harmony and reconciliation. Jesus would come as one filled with what we now term the gifts of the Spirit. The people of Isaiah's time had been a struggling people, an oppressed people, a people living in hope of a day when the Messiah would come and free them. The imagery Isaiah uses is both rich and startling. Who of us would ever envision a wolf and a lamb lying down together? Or who of us would dare to believe it to be safe to allow our children to play by the cobra's den or near the adder's lair? These images of Isaiah are startling and jar us into realizing the extremes to which we are invited to go as disciples. Our reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans deepens the challenge and provides us with the key for how all of this can happen. Listen again to Paul's words. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Jesus Christ, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God. Welcome one another then, as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. We are invited to think in harmony with one another. And how do we do that? By the power and grace of God. Each Sunday we gather here at this table, each coming from our own corner of the city, with our own beliefs and ideologies, our own priorities and values, our own concerns and cares. And here at this table, we are invited to put down that which would divide us and embrace that which unites us, our belief in God, our sharing in what it means to be human, our desires for good and for life. We don't always agree on the details or the hows. Yes, we can sometimes come like wolf and lamb, like cow and bear, like ox and lion. But when we can put aside differences and recognize the presence of Christ in one another, the harmony and hope we hear of in today's readings become possible. Today's gospel offers yet another role model and example for discipleship, John the Baptist, an outspoken, unusual, rather odd character, actually. John is one who has stripped away all the accoutrements that would make him a pleasant visitor at our house or table. He tells it exactly like it is. He comes roughshod and bedraggled, proclaiming a message of hope, yes, but also of challenge to shape up. He does come promising the Messiah for whom they had longed, but he also reminds them that the Messiah will come as one demanding change, as one who will sort out the good fruit from the bad and bring fire to our earth. Advent is a season of hope and of waiting. John reminds the people of his time that they will most be known by the fruits they produce. They must be prepared for the day of the Messiah from the inside out by making sure that their lives are marked by the good fruits of justice, wisdom, understanding, strength of character, fear of the Lord, and faithfulness. And what about us? What fruit marks our lives these weeks? What corners of our minds and hearts need new light shed on them so that all we are and do, all we think and speak, is reflective of the gospel and of the gifts of the Spirit alive and well in each one of us? We might ask ourselves this week, who are the John the Baptists that have walked into my life at various times? What message have they brought to me? How have they introduced me to God? For some of us, it was parents or grandparents, neighbors, friends, a spouse, a child, a teacher or mentor, a boss or coworker. Someone who invited us to be our best selves. This weekend, our diocese and our church here in the United States takes time to call to mind the dedication and witness of one particular group of John the Baptists. Our retired religious, priests from religious communities, brothers and sisters who have given their lives to their communities and to our church as people willing to live out the gospel and give witness to whether the going was easy or challenging. The words Isaiah used to describe the shoot of Jesse, wise, understanding, strong, knowledgeable, reverent, just, outspoken for justice, and faithful, could well be used to describe these men and women who have faithfully given their lives to the life of the church and our world. Their witness to hope and harmony speaks to us of the reign of God. Is it easy? No. Is it an ongoing commitment to love and be loved, to change and be changed? Yes. Is it a costly adventure? Certainly. But one they have undertaken through the grace of our God of endurance and encouragement. Why is it we take this time to remember them each year in December? Yes, we want to honor who they have been for all of us. Each one of us here has been touched in one way or another, knowingly or perhaps unknowingly, by the lives of these men and women over the years. I would hunch that with the long, long history of a Catholic school here at St. Matthew's, many, many of you could tell both humorous and awe-inspiring stories from your own experiences. Most of the subjects of those stories would be both proud and humbled by the memories you could share. The other reality that has brought us to this remembering is a very simple need. Over the years, our religious have generously given of their time, talent, and treasure in ministry to our church and world. Early on, they did it with very, very little recompense beyond their own needs for a roof over their heads, simple food on their table, and an occasional new habit. What monies they received allowed the many, many young members to take care of the elderly, and the stipends they received were invested back into their ministries here and abroad. Today, with smaller numbers of younger members and larger numbers of religious needing health care, and we all know what that costs these days, the challenge seems almost insurmountable. For the past 19 years, a national collection has been taken up in December and then distributed according to need to those congregations most in need of help supporting their elderly members. We invite you today and next weekend to join in that 20th annual collection for the Retirement Fund for Religious, as a way of saying thank you to these men and women who have given their lives to being the John the Baptist kind of witnesses to all of us. From your own experiences, you know that at times they may have spoken words of hope and encouragement, and at other times, they urged you to shape up to a bit more greatness. The word of hope and encouragement you could offer them today would be the greatness of your generosity in your support, whether it is financial or the support of your love and prayers. I thank you today on the behalf of all of us for the witness you give to us, for the ways you are the John the Baptist in calling us to greatness and to great hope for the future. The fruits of our lives lived together in harmony will speak volumes to the world of what the reign of God is here and now. The Spirit of the Lord does indeed rest upon us, individually and as the body of Christ. May we journey together through this season of Advent, seeking the light of God in us, among us, and still yet to come.
Juliana. Remember last week at Mass, we talked about having a word we could take with us all week long that would help us remember what the scriptures and the preaching were about. Recall that? Remember what the word was? You don't. Okay. Well, last week the word was wake up. Right? Well, this week we have another word. Do you know what that word is? Sister used it twice. Shape up. So think about that word all week long. Shape up. That's what the scriptures and the preaching invited us to do as we prepare this week for the feast and for the season that is to come. I want to thank Sister Marjorie. Every year when this event occurs, it's a strong reminder of how impoverished we are in that people like Sister Marjorie are unable to exercise ordained ministry in our church. But I do thank you. I thank you for bringing your gift and your faith. I thank you for sharing that with us. Please let us pray. Let us pray for the coming of a new age of peace and justice for all peoples.
For the church, that like John the Baptist, may always be a light to expose evil and a voice to summon sinners to righteousness, we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
For world leaders, that they may be converted to walk on the path of peace, that they may try harder to put an end to war and oppression, we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
Let the Lord protect our country and our people from natural calamities and the evils of corruption and injustice. For this we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
And we pray for those who are sick, that God may grant them healing and strength. For Andrea Wenker, Tom Brunel, and Shar Brady, let us pray. Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.